Now we're going to look at the Gospel of Matthew. We're just beginning chapter 23, which is a collection of the tough things that Jesus said to the Pharisees. Why did he say them? He was trying to change them. If I'm set in my ways and think I'm doing great, know a little bit of theology, quite proud of my moral rectitude, I'm a lost cause. Jesus would have to say, Francis, you better shape up. Then I'd get serious. So that's what he's doing here. It is the counterpart to the reading from Malachi about the priests and trying to be big shots and take advantage of all that sort of stuff. Okay? The text goes, you see. Then Jesus spoke to the crowds and to his disciples. You always look to see who the addressee is of a law in the Old Testament or a discourse. It's to the crowds and the disciple. They both have a lesson to learn here, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit on the chair of Moses. Probably meaning in the broad sense of the term, their job is to interpret the law. The law comes from Moses. The core of it does. It's an energy that develops over centuries through very devout people. The problem is, if you get law conscious, you can lose being God conscious. And this is, you know. And then the letter kills. And as Aquinas says, that can go for the letter of the gospel. It can kill. If you're just holding on to it, you don't know what it's for, and not embracing it with a softened heart. You see? And so, scribes and Pharisees have taken their seat on the chair of Moses. Okay. Therefore, do and observe all things whatsoever they tell you, but do not follow their example. Why? Because they've made themselves big shots. Well, I've already told you, the greatest among you should be the servant of all the rest. So what's all this big shot stuff? Who's supposed to be a big shot? I am. I'm the Son of God. And yet the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And his diakonia is to give his life as a ransom for the many. That's serving. That's the leader. That's the big shot. And so this text is harsh. Spoke to the crowds and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees had taken their... I've already read that part. Therefore, do and observe all things whatsoever they tell you, but do not follow their example. And now he's going to start this exteriority and loving positions of honor. For they preach, but they do not practice. Before we get into some of these examples, you see, we've got to get the point. They preach, but they do not practice. That's easy, right? Preach without practicing. It's not going to do anybody any good, especially yourself. And so it goes on then. They tie up heavy burdens, hard to carry, and they lay them on people's shoulders, but they will not lift a finger to move them. And that can be very harsh. I'm trying to think of an example. Father, my child was sick, and I was caring for him, and inadvertently I took a cup of coffee. It was, so I'm not an hour before communion. No communion. She didn't do it on purpose. Somebody says, oh, well, these are not important rules. I can, no, of course, she's caring for her child. And so she's 5 minutes over the limit. I remember a theologian who was famous for wanting to advocate, including fornication, you know, not be too tough on these people. And he was talking to me. I said to him, listen, the way we help people is not to reduce the demands of the gospel, but to show them the power of the cross. When the Lord Christ lives in us because of baptism, you see, then we have the power to live the whole gospel in freedom and in joy. That's the way. To keep cutting down the demands of the gospel, wind up pretty soon with nobody doing anything. If my figures are correct, at this moment, only 30% of those men and women who live together are married. That must include a lot of Catholics. That's not helping them. That's not helping them. You see? So, you see, our Lord will say later on, you know, come to me when you labor and are burdened, and he means this kind of labor and burdening, and I will refresh you. Learn of me, because I am meek and humble of heart. And so, he's telling these people, you see, they preach, but they do not practice. All their works are performed to be seen. What a slavery. What a slavery. At the other end of the spectrum is somebody like Saint Therese, who used to say, you know, I wish God didn't know everything. I'd love to do something for him, and he didn't know that I was the one who did it. That's a saint. I'm not looking for reward. I want to give God joy and pleasure. I want to serve him. And so I wish I could do something, and I could sneak it in on him, and he wouldn't know it was me. Impossible. But, you see, that's the attitude. You see, and that's why you've got all these beautiful examples. The Pharisee who goes up to the front of the temple and prays to himself, the text says. You see, God, I thank you that I'm not like the rest of men. I fast, I give tithes, I do all this stuff. And I'm sure he does. So I'm safe. Why am I safe? Because I love God and God loves me? No. But I've got a hold on him. This is a contract. I'm doing my part. You got to do yours. That's a lie. The only contract is love. It's true. If we stay out of mortal sin, we'll make it. But you see, if the only reason I'm staying out of mortal sin is so I'll make it, sooner or later, I won't be interested. This will be so enticing. Steal a bunch of money, have sex, do something. You see, you can't do it that way. Just keep the rule so I'm safe. You see, sooner or later, you gotta love. And that's what he's trying to tell these people here, you see. All their works are performed to be seen. Everybody will know how devout they are. Is that right? No. Now, you don't have to hide in a corner and say, I'm a hidden soul. You can be proud of that, too. You just got to be ordinary. Just approachable. You read the gospel. Was anybody afraid to go up to Jesus? Ever? And he's the Son of God. Now, they might not have known that, but they know who he is, like, you see? He was approachable. If there's one thing that comes out of the gospel, right? This stranger woman, this Canaanite woman. Jesus, Son of David, have pity on me. My daughter is tormented by a demon. And he gives her a hard time, but she wasn't discouraged. Credit to her, but also a credit to Jesus. You see, he's encouraging her even as he's discouraging her. And so, you see, they widen their phylacteries and lengthen their tassels. You know, Jesus had tassels on his robe, too. That was the way Jewish men went, a reminder of the law. Remember that woman who touched me? She probably got a hold of one of his tassels. If I can just touch him, I'll be healed. And she got a hold of his cloak, one of these tassels. They weren't big and fancy or expensive, of course. He couldn't afford it. So they weren't big and look how devout I am. And, you know, the best way to pass through life unnoticed is to be ordinary. Be approachable. You know, love and learn to love everybody with affection. That doesn't come easily, but it comes. And then don't worry about your phylacteries, you know. We don't wear them. Okay. They love places of honor at banquets, seats of honor in synagogue, greetings in marketplaces, and the salutation, Rabbi. I love to be a big shot. Oh, that's so-and-so. Oh, look at that. You know? I think I've told you this story before. I was in Rome for the 75 Charismatic Conference. I was walking around St. Peter's, and this group of people, maybe 50 or 60, came sort of charging at me. And they said, "Are you Father Francis?" I said, "Yes." "Well, pray over us." And, oh, I know what they're looking for. I said, "I'll be happy, because the Lord heals through anybody who prays." But I said, "I think you're looking for another Father Francis." They said, yeah, that's it. And they just turned around and walked away. That's good for you, humility. Hey, I'm a great preacher. I'm a prophet. Come and listen to me. I mean, am I going to say that? No. In fact, I thought it was kind of funny, actually. I mean, that's how you get put in your place. You know, I'm a big shot, but nobody knows I'm a big shot, so I can't be a very big shot. You see? Whereas, you see, they're doing all these things and have seats of honor and are called Rabbi, which means my great one, but in this context, my teacher. You have but one teacher, and all of you are brothers, you see? Call no one on earth your father. You have but one father in heaven. Now, sometimes we have an argument with the Protestants over this, right? Priests are called father. You're not father-like given divine life on your own, for heaven's sakes. But Paul, it means transmitting life. The most paternal thing priests do is preach. Forgive sins. Share the Eucharist. Those are giving life. We have an example. I'm going to have to look it up for you here. I thought I wrote it out, but I forgot. It's 1 Corinthians 4:15. He's left Corinth, and there's a whole bunch of guys in there sort of saying, we're better than Paul, we've done more signs and wonders, we're smarter, and all that stuff. And so it says here, you see, I'm writing as you to, as my children, to alert you, to correct you. Even if you have thousand or thousands of pedagogues, teachers, you know, you've all in Christ. You don't have many fathers. In Christ Jesus, through the gospel, I gave you birth. I'm the Father. You see? And so, it's transmitting life. If you want to be a father or a mother, because there's mothers too, give life. That's the way you do it. All right. I'm just going to conclude there, then, you see, with whoever exalts himself will be humbled. Whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Watch that one. It doesn't mean if you humble yourself, you're going to get a raise. If you humble yourself, you're in the best spot. If I were to raise you up, you'd lose this privileged place of being the last, just like Jesus. Amen.